Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Morning. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Riedel Ferry, Ontario, KLG 1WO. And yes, this is Donald Crisp, and I am the lead pastor of the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, and it is my privilege to bring the Good News message today. I love to just pause for a moment and to cause each of us to stop and to think about this. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is always wonderful to have God's people gather on God's day to hear God's word. It is always wonderful to be with you. And now, may God bless the hearing of today's message, and may we commit ourselves to listen with all our hearts. My prayer today is that the God of the Bible will bless you, encourage you, challenge you, and comfort you. May God turn your heart and my heart toward home as He speaks to us and draws us near. My message today is entitled, What I Have Planned, That Will I Do. Today I want to pause for a bit and ponder the sovereign Lord God. That's next to impossible if you really think about it. For the finite to even to consider the idea of pondering the magnificence of the infinite one. Yet the Bible is helpful as the scriptures declare him to be El Elyon, the one who sits on the throne, Elohim, the creator, Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, Jehovah Shalom, our peace, Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals us, and Adonai El Shaddai, the mighty Lord of the mountains. But I want us to consider today what God says about himself. From Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 through 11, listen to what he says. These are his words. I am God, and there is none other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Folks, we're talking about the one who sits on the throne, the one who tells us that he is our shalom, our peace. Let's take a moment and listen to Kenny Rogers singing in his, by the way, in his first gospel CD. He sings, Peace.
From so far away, down the road of my own mistakes, in the hope you could hear me pray, oh Lord, keep me in your reach. How I've longed through these wasted to outrun all the pain and fear, turn to stone from my uncried tears. And now it's your grace I seek. Love won't compromise. It's a gift, it's a sacrifice my soul renewed and my heart released. In you I'll find my peace. Oh, wondrous child, of whom the angels sing, know my joy, feel my suffering. Shining star, make this love you bring so bright that I may believe. In my way will not be lost from now on, till that river's crossed, my soul renewed, my spirit free. In you I'll find my peace.
Today I want us to see God, or shall I say, see God's hand. In science, in history, and in creation, I'll be showing, sharing stories with you today. Three pictures of His marvelous presence amongst us. Three word pictures for us to ponder, to look and to see the greatness of this incredible God. Three pieces of evidence. So let's begin. First, God's promises. Mr. Harold Hill, president of the Curtiss Engine Company in Baltimore, Maryland, and a consultant in the space program, relates the following development. It's entitled NASA and the Bible, or NASA and the Bible. To quote, he says, "I think one of the most amazing things that God has done for us today happened recently to our astronauts and space scientists at Greenbelt, Maryland. They were checking out where the positions of the sun and the moon and the planets would be 100 or 1,000 years from now." Well, that's over my head, folks. He said, "We have to lay out the orbits in terms of the life of the satellite and where the planets will be so that the whole thing will not bog down and, might I add, probably even collide." They ran the computer measurements backward and forth over the centuries, and suddenly it came to a halt. The computer stopped and put up a red signal, which meant that there was something wrong with either the information fed into it or the results as compared to the standards. They found that there was a day missing in space and an elapsed time. They scratched their heads, and I'm sure they were tearing out their hair trying to figure out, where is this day? Finally, one of the men on the team, a Christian man, said, "You know, when I studied the Bible in Sunday school, it talked about the sun standing still for a day." Well, of course, they didn't believe him, but they didn't have an answer either. So they said, "Show us." He got the Bible out. He went to the book of Joshua, where they found what they thought to be a pretty ridiculous statement. Didn't make common sense at all. It just didn't make any sense at all. But this is what it said, Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. "The sun stopped in the middle of the day, in the middle of the sky, and delayed going down for about a day." Well, the astronauts and the scientists said, "There is the missing day." They checked the computers, going back and forth in the time written at the time of Joshua, and you know what? They found that it was there. There was the day, the missing day. It was close, but it wasn't close enough. What they found was the missing 23 hours and 20 minutes, but not a whole day. They said, "Well, the Bible isn't accurate. Well, the man read Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 again, only this time they read it more carefully, and they realized that it said, "The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down for about a full day. About." Oh, little words in the Bible are important. But you know what? Even though they admit that the Bible was accurate, they said, "We're still missing 40 minutes, and we're still in trouble if we try to send a satellite up for 100 or 1,000 years from now. That 40 minutes would be important." 40 minutes had to be found, because once multiplied many times over in orbits, there will be a collision. As the Christian employee thought about it, he said, "Well, wait a minute. The Bible also speaks about the sun going backwards." They laughed. They said, "What are you talking about?" The scientist told them that he was out of his mind, but they didn't have an answer. So they said, "All right, where is it?" And he went to 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 9 through 11. And this is the story about Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. He's on his deathbed. He was being visited by the prophet Isaiah, who told him that he was not going to die at this time. Hezekiah asked for a sign as proof. Isaiah said, "Do you want the sun to go ahead 10 degrees? Hezekiah said, "No, let the sun, the shadow, return backward 10 degrees. Isaiah spoke to the Lord, and the Lord brought the shadow backwards 10 degrees. Can you imagine that? Folks, did you know that 10 degrees is exactly 40 minutes? 23 hours and 20 minutes in Joshua, plus 40 minutes in 2 Kings, makes that missing day in the universe. Now, isn't that amazing? The references, again, are Joshua 10, verse 8, and verses 12 to 13, and 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 9 through 11. Hear these words: "I am God, and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do." Picture number one, or the first piece of evidence, as we ponder the magnificence of God: God made the sun stand still. God made the sun go backwards. Incredible. And now the second piece of evidence. Picture number two, a piece of evidence to examine as we ponder again the magnificence of God: prophecy. What would you think if I told you that I could predict who would be the Prime Minister of Canada 150 years from now? I'm sure I know what you'd think of me. Well, let's forget that. But this is exactly what happened in the Bible. This is exactly what happened in the case of Cyrus, king of Persia. Isaiah was writing about the year 680 BC. He wrote about Babylon. Babylon was barely coming into its own. It was at that time that Isaiah predicted that Babylon would eventually surround Jerusalem and take the Jews captive. That prediction was fulfilled 100 years later, in 586 BC. Not only did Isaiah predict that Babylon would conquer Jerusalem, he went on to say that Babylon in turn would be conquered by the Persians. Wow. Keep in mind that Persia was barely in existence and certainly was not a meaningful power when Isaiah predicted that Persia would become a world power and conquer Babylon. That prophecy was fulfilled. Isaiah added that the king of Persia would allow the captive Jews that the Babylonians had captured and taken to Babylon, he would allow them to return to Jerusalem. And that happened just as Isaiah had said it would. Then Isaiah named the king who would rule the Persian Empire and let the Jews return to Jerusalem. This is found in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 26 to 28. Now hear this, hear this. All historians agree that the founder of the Persian Empire was Cyrus, and he ruled over the Persians from 559 to 530 BC. That's 29 years. All history records that he conquered Babylon in the year 539 BC. Historians tell us that he decreed that the Jews would return to their homeland, and that edict was issued in March of 538 BC, just after the capture of Babylon. This means, please catch this, this means that Isaiah named Cyrus and foretold that the decision he would make some 100 years before Cyrus was even born, and 150 years before Cyrus arose to be the king of this empire that eventually would be called the Persian Empire. Listen to these words again: "I am God, There is no other. I am God. There is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. And then there's, when we think of prophecy, Tyre, the city of Tyre, found in Ezekiel chapter 26, verses 3 to 14. This prophecy says that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, would come against the city of Tyre with many horses and would kill the people of Tyre. Actually, it says five things. Number one, Nebuchadnezzar would destroy the city of Tyre. Number two, many nations would come up against Tyre. Number three, Tyre would become bare, like the flat of a flat rock. In other words, totally destroyed. Number four, fishermen will spread their nets over that site. And number five, Tyre will be thrown into the water and never rebuilt again. Now let's go to history. Historically speaking, Tyre was both a coastal and an island city. The coastal city of Tyre was besieged by Nebuchadnezzar, and after 13 years was finally destroyed. Well, that's the coastal city. Many people escaped the island using their ships, and they went out to the island city of Tyre, and there they built even stronger fortifications. Nebuchadnezzar, already exhausted from conquering the coastal city, did not bother to take the island city. And for 240 years, the island city of Tyre survived while the mainland city lay in ruins. It appeared that Ezekiel's prophecy would not be completely fulfilled, for Tyre was not cast into the sea, and then many nations had not come up against her as Ezekiel had prophesied and predicted. But remember, God had spoken. He had promised this. One day, Alexander the Great marched through the land and was forced to deal with a rebel city. It was the island city whose name was Tyre. After conquering the Persians, Alexander marched down the coast of Palestine until he reached this island city of Tyre in the year 333 BC. Strategically speaking, he knew that it was not wise to continue his trek to Egypt, leaving this powerful city of Tyre at his rear. The logical step was to conquer the island city with its ships and fortifications. Well, Alexander did the following. It's amazing. He built a causeway from the mainland to the island. Despite the storms and the countless attacks, the soldiers of Alexander built the causeway, listen to this, by pushing the ruins of the coastal city into the sea, just as Ezekiel had predicted. Yes, it was 240 years later, but the prophecy stood. Alexander then organized a flotilla of ships from several conquered nations, including 80 ships from Sidon and Byblos, 10 from Rhodes, 10 from Lycia, 120 from Cyprus. As God had promised and predicted, many nations came up against Tyre. 3 years later, after Alexander the Great began the siege of Tyre, Alexander conquered the island city of Tyre. Historians tell us, and they record, that Tyre lost that day 8,000 men in battle. 2,000 men of military age were crucified around the city, and 30,000 women and children were sold as slaves. Although there is a small town on the island today, you can Google this, it is actually on the peninsula from Alexander's causeway. The truth is, the city of Tyre has never been rebuilt, just as Ezekiel had prophesied. Even today, fishermen spread their nets on the flat rocks of the conquered city, a testimony to the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy. God had said, I will make you a bare rock, and you will become a place to spread fish nets. You will never be rebuilt, for I, the Lord, have spoken. I am God, there is none other. I am God, there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Picture number one, or the first piece of evidence to examine as we ponder the magnificence of God, is God's promises. Oh yes, remember that story about the sun standing still and the sun moving backwards. Picture number two is the second piece of evidence to examine as we ponder the magnificence of God. Oh, prophecy. Cyrus, king of Persia. And yes, the city of Tyre. Picture number three, or the third piece of evidence to examine as we ponder the magnificence of God. It's very simple. First, we have God's promises, then we have God's prophecy, and now God's profound creative hand. This is a clear picture of God's hand of creation. Ponder this. The bombardier beetle. That's right, the bombardier beetle. He defends itself by shooting out bad-smelling gases that ignite in the face of an enemy. And when those gases come out, they come out at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, that's as hot as boiling water. To accomplish this, two kinds of chemicals are used. Hydrogen peroxide and hydrogen quinine are used. If you went into a chemistry lab and mixed those two together, there would be an explosion. Therefore, to carry these two chemicals together, the beetle has an inhibitor that prevents the chemicals from exploding, even though they are stored in the same compartment. In a separate compartment, there's an anti-inhibitor that waits for the right moment to neutralize the inhibitor. Now think about it. So at the exact moment the beetle wants to fire at the enemy, the anti-inhibitor is squirted through a tube to unite with the other two chemicals that are coming through their tube and are being squirted towards the enemy. The anti-inhibitor neutralizes the inhibitor. Therefore, the two chemicals are now free to react violently together and explode in the enemy's face. Wow. Now, the evolutionists will have trouble explaining how the bombardier beetle evolved, won't they? Think about it first. An evolving beetle could not have experimented with the two chemicals. He would have been blown into bits. Secondly, how could the inhibitor just evolve? There would be no need for the inhibitor to evolve unless you first have the two chemicals. But if you first have the two chemicals without the inhibitor, it's too late. Folks, someone had to know that the inhibitor was needed at the right time. Someone had to know that the anti-inhibitor would need to be waiting so that at the right microsecond of time that it would neutralize the inhibitor and this bombardier beetle would be able to do damage to its enemy. Oh, picture number one, God's promises. Yes, the sun stood still, the sun moved backwards. Picture number two, God's prophecy, the Cyrus, king of Persia and Tyre. Picture number three, God's profound creation, the bombardier beetle. Oh, listen to these words again. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. My friends, as we ponder the magnificence of God as best we can, we will no doubt find ourselves standing in awe of the one who knows us and the one who loves us. I believe that everything that we read about him in Scripture is there to reveal to us that the Almighty God is a loving God who beckons us to run into his arms. And this is what the Almighty God says to each of us. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. And when you call to me, I will hear you. When you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your hearts. Is it time, folks, to run into his arms? Run into the arms of the one who made these promises, who has prophesied the future, and he holds our future, and the one who declares who he is as we look around at his profound creation as we live on planet Earth. Oh, we have so much to stand in awe about and to praise God for. Would you take a moment and pray with me as we praise him? Father, we've declared that you are Elohim, the Creator. We thank you for your creation. You are the sovereign Lord God. We know that your plans always come true and are always fulfilled. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan for our lives. We thank you that we can trust those plans and we rejoice in them. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. Now in conclusion, I want to thank you for your prayerful encouragement and your God-led financial support of this radio ministry. Folks, you need to know that your faithful prayers and gracious giving empowers and enables this ministry to deliver God's good news message on the air. Dr. Churchill and I want to thank you for being part of this radio ministry team. The truth is we can't do this without you. Let me encourage you and challenge you to make out a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. That's Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Make the check payable to the Good News Broadcast. We'll send you a receipt at income tax time. Now, on a personal note, if this radio ministry is impacting your life, perhaps you have prayed and received Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Perhaps you have recommitted your life to Christ. You know what? We would just love to hear about it. Would you email me at doncrisp@hotmail.com? I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Please encourage others to listen to this radio ministry. You can listen to this program each Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. on CFRA on 580 a.m. or Rogers Cable on 927, or online at CFRA.com, or even still, during the week, go to our website, Good News Christian Ministries, and click on Broadcast. Now, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found within it. Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. Amen. Now, as we conclude this program today, again, I'd like you to hear Kenny Rogers from his new CD, gospel CD. That CD is entitled The Love of God. Let's listen to him sing, He Showed Me Love. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage and faith and love. And may you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, truth, and love. Amen.
He showed me love. When all the hope I had was gone, He showed me love and gave me strength to carry on. I just put my faith in Jesus and let him take my hand. I know he's gonna lead me to the promised land. He showed me love, and he'll do the same for you. He showed me love. Here in my heart, I never felt before. He showed me love, enough to give and never hunger for. I was always lost and searching, running anywhere I could, chasing every rainbow till I understood. He showed me love, and he'll do the same for you. Jesus said he would. He showed me love, and he'll do the same for you. If you ask him to, he showed me love, and he'll do the same for you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.